Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper. Tonight is March the 7th in the year 2012 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and our topic tonight is study strategies, what works for ADHD, and how is it different? With us in our virtual studio is Ann Dolan. We're going to get into the meat of the show here in a second, but as usual, we've got a few announcements. One, I want to make those that are in the Metro DC area aware that Chad is having a regional conference on May the 19th. I believe it's just a one day. I know that Dr. Hollowell will be speaking at that along with some other people, so I encourage you to, if you're in that area and you can kind of get there, go to chadd.org to learn more. Also, as we it's that time to start talking about their annual conference this year, which is November the 8th to the 12th. It's in San Francisco this year. I'm looking forward to go out there. I haven't been out to San Francisco in a while. Again, for that, you can learn more by just going to chadd.org. A reminder to our listeners, we have a Facebook page at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio. There you can access our archive shows, see a list of upcoming shows. You can actually listen to the show live on the right tab, and you can post on our wall. If you're not the type of person that likes to go out to the internet to find that stuff, if you go to our live show and newsletter icon, you can go there, give us your email address, and we'll email you twice a month our newsletter, which usually has a list of upcoming shows and a couple other editorial comments. I'll also make everybody else out there that's interested is if you click on our advertiser and giveaway tab right now, we're having a giveaway of $50 iTunes gift certificate. There's no purchase required. Just fill out the form, send it to us, and we will have a drawing and a month to see who wins that. Other announcements. Tonight's going to be an exciting show, but we have a few more actually coming. I want to make you aware of next week. Ruth Hughes from Chad will be on. She's going to be talking about ADHD medication shortages, and then the following week, Dr. Russell Barkley will be on talking about his executive functioning in adults with ADHD, a new construct. Very excited about this particular show. I've seen him present on this a couple times, and I think you'll be fascinated. And at the end of the month, we're going to have Steve Gundy coming on talking about coaching dual diagnosis, ADHD, and developmental disabilities. So just mark your calendars for that. But tonight, we have Ann Dolan, our virtual studio. Ann is a recognized expert in education and learning issues. She has delivered hundreds of presentations focusing on academic achievement and parenting issues. She's also the author of the award-winning book, Homework Made Simple, Tips, Tools, and Solutions for Stress-Free Homework. And it's available at Amazon.com. I understand sometimes at Barnes & Noble you can get it, but the best place to go to is Amazon.com for that. She received her bachelor's degree in child psychology with teaching certification for grades 1 through 8 and a master's degree in special education. In 1998, she left her 20-year career in public school as a public school teacher and founded Educational Connections, Inc. For more information about that, you can go to ectutoring.com. Also note that Ann currently resides in Virginia area with her wife and two children. And with that, Ann, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff. It's great to be on.
I am thrilled about tonight because I'm anxious to learn how to learn. I guess I'm going to kind of kick things off a little bit. Do those with ADHD require different learning strategies?
Oh, they sure do. A whole host of different strategies. You know, what works for a typical student doesn't always work for someone with ADHD, so they really need to know how to best learn, how to really manage their ADHD within the context of school.
And when we talk about learning, there are different learning modalities. Some people learn very visually, some more auditorily, some very maybe in movement. That's a big part of it, in understanding that if you can understand how your more dominant way of learning, that can actually help give you clues as to how you should maybe organize some study strategies. Is that accurate?
It is. I would say, though, that people with ADHD tend to do better when instruction is using all three modalities. So, for example, if you're in a lecture-based class where the teacher is standing up in front of the class lecturing, it's going to be really hard for the person with ADHD to focus, take good notes, and really get as much as they can out of the lecture. However, when there's a teacher that's also showing a PowerPoint, there's also discussion within the class that you're talking and doing, as well as the lecture, you're just going to get so much more out of it. So that's why for people with ADHD, they don't usually learn best in traditional classrooms. They need to augment what they're getting from their teacher in other ways outside of the classroom, and that's what I want to share with you tonight, Jeff.
That's awesome. One of the questions I want to ask you is to kind of compare and contrast what works for non-ADHDers and what works for them, but would you like to just kind of just begin to share some of the things that you think are the key points, or would you like to jump into that?
I absolutely can. You know, there's a couple of things that I just can come up with off the top of my head. The first one is reading. And, you know, many times people without ADHD can read a textbook or read a novel, comprehend it, go to the next page, and really remember a lot of what they've read. But a person with ADHD may read actually perfectly well, and the mechanics of their reading is fine, but their comprehension is often not so hot. So they'll read a page, and sometimes they'll get to the bottom of the page and think, oh my gosh, I don't know what I've read. But oftentimes, especially younger students, they don't really stop to think, you know what, I really should reread this. They just go on to the next page. Their inattentiveness really gets in the way of comprehension. So certainly someone with ADHD really needs to hone, we call them active reading strategies. Things like highlighting, taking notes as they read, those are really important. The other thing is that kids with ADHD often become distractible, whether they're hyperactive or inattentive, or a little bit of both, they tend to do better in shorter bursts of time. You know, depending on the age, about 20 minutes is a good amount of time to do work and then to take a break. But often people get far more done when they set a timer for a specific amount of time and work as hard as they can during that time than sitting there for an hour.
Absolutely.
And being far less productive.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, you can whittle away an hour, or you can just get it done and come back to it. I'm intrigued a little bit by when you say active reading, highlighting, and taking notes. That seems to be because if you're reading and you're highlighting and actually taking notes, there's a little bit of okay. When you read something, you have to kind of go back to highlight it, and then if you're right taking notes, it's just that activity and paying attention to it the second time as you highlight it or write makes really a lot of sense to me because you're emphasizing it and kind of locking it in. Is that an accurate assessment, you think, of what's going on or why that works?
Absolutely, Jeff. Yes, most definitely. You know, and there are tons of studies out there about the act of writing. So far and away, the act of taking notes while you read is far better than highlighting. So let me start there. So what you do is the person would read a section of the book or a page and say to themselves, okay, what did I just read? What's important here? And then they would paraphrase a couple of the most important points and summarize those points on a little post-it note or in the margin of the book if they can write in the book. And I'm talking about just a couple of phrases to kind of reformulate the information in your mind and just jot it down. That's really important, the act of self-talk, what did I just read, and jotting it down. Whenever you're making that neurological connection between reading and writing, you're going to remember that information far better than if you just read it. So the low-hanging fruit, though, is highlighting. And many times, especially younger students will say, I'm not going to take the time to write notes as I read. That's too much work for me, and I don't like to write anyway. Well, the second best thing is highlighting. The problem is that many, many people think that they should highlight as they read, and that's really not what you do. So you want to read a section or a passage and say to yourself the same question, what's important here? Then go back and highlight the most important points. You don't want to get highlighter happy and highlight everything, just the very main points. And that, you know, still you're having to reformulate your ideas. You're not really writing, but it's better than just reading.
I love what you said, highlighter happy. I was in college. I used to highlight some stuff, and I used to like have to go back through it with another color, with a darker color to say, hey, this is because I got a highlighter a couple times myself.
Yeah. And, you know, Jeff, there's a really cool product on the market. It's called highlighting tape, and you can get it from reallygoodstuff.com. And I love this product because it's basically tape that you can see through. And kids love reading it, using it. So when you find the part that's important, you put this highlighting tape over it. And then when you want to go back to study the important points, you simply just peel it off, and it doesn't damage the textbook.
Oh, wow. That's great. What are the tips you got for us?
Well, a couple things. I mentioned the timer. My favorite timer is one called the Time Timer, and you can get that on timetimer.com or on Amazon. And I like the Time Timer because it's a really great visual. You know, sometimes kids will use a timer to pace themselves, and they know that they're really distractible. They're kind of like Super Bowl kids. You know how you watch the Super Bowl, Jeff, and it's like 3 hours long? It's really long, but really they only play for an hour. Some people are like that when they do homework. They will sit there for 3 hours, but they're really only do, say, a half hour of work. So with a timer, like the Time Timer, you see this red part disappearing, so you get a better sense of elapsed time. It's better to have a timer that's a stand-up timer or even a kitchen timer right in front of you than using a timer on your iPhone or your cell phone. It needs to be front and center. It's that visual reminder of how much time you have left.
Well, I have to tell you, everybody, I didn't put her up to that. Time Timer has been a very big supporter of the show for the last year.
Oh, you're
year.
Kidding.
Oh,
I didn't
no, no.
That.
I don't anymore, but I actually used to use the Time Timer on my iPad to kind of track myself, keeping time in the show for a period of time. So we didn't put her up to that. She didn't necessarily know it, but it is a good product, and I actually have used it myself several times. So I tell you what, Anna, I need to kind of go to a break. Before we do, just real quickly, the best place to learn more and to actually contact you would be go to the ectutoring.com website. Is that accurate?
Yes, and I have lots of articles on my website on procrastination, on time management, all of the things that make study, can be an obstacle, but solutions for making studying easier for people with ADHD.
And I'll add to that. When I first started talking to Ann, I don't know if I signed up or she signed me up for her newsletter. And I get lots of newsletters from a lot of places. And I will tell everybody, if this is some space you're interested in, sign up. It's really good. She has some articles that come out, and she has some videos. There's a lot of different types of things, but I will endorse it. It's an exceptionally good newsletter that I look for, and I skim through it and or read part of it every time I get it. So if you're out there, I encourage you to go to, again, it's ectutoring.com. Check out the website and sign up for the newsletter if you want. So I tell you what, with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
ADHD, is it real? How is it diagnosed? How do I know if I have it or if my children have it? Do you outgrow it? You have questions and we have answers. We're CHAD, a national organization made up of professionals, parents, educators, and, of course, those with ADHD. So if you want real answers to your questions, join CHAD at www.chadd.org or call us at 800-233-4050.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
I'm Jeff Copper, host of Attention Talk Radio, here to talk to you about CopyTalk.com, a voice dictation service. This is not just some voice dictation software. It's a real dictation service by people who type whatever you want. When I need to document something, all I do is hit speed dial on my cell or work phone and start speaking. The folks at CopyTalk will type it up and email it back to me that day. The best part is I can dictate as many 4-minute messages as I want, all for one flat monthly fee. Go to copytalk.com/ATR, enter Jeff Copper as the referrer's name, and sign up for the free trial account today. If you tell them I sent you, then you'll get $20 off the monthly subscription for as long as you keep the service.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
This is your ADHD information station. Attention Talk Radio. You're listening Talk Radio. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We have Ann Dolan in our virtual studios. Before the break, we were talking about reading and highlighting, taking notes as a way to increase comprehension, and start talking about like setting timers to like, kind of focus time and to take some breaks for those with ADHD to kind of pay attention. Ann, before the break, I'm a proponent of your newsletter, and I have a note. Actually, have an article that was produced in I think your January newsletter, saying the four kinds of careless errors. And I'd like to kind of come back to some strategies, but I want to kind of jump into this because this is the kind of really kind of hard hitting stuff that's available on that website that I encourage people to go to because it talks about these careless errors and some real practical stuff. So can we just kind of walk through and touch base on them? And the four areas that you note are dropping negative signs, not copying problems correctly or not reading them, too much incorrect mental math, which I thought was interesting, and squeezing too much information into a small place. Can you touch on that, some of the strategies?
Sure. I'd say my favorite strategy is one that has to do with self-regulation. You know, oftentimes with kids with ADHD, teachers will say, go back and check your work. And you know what, Jeff, quite honestly, that's pretty meaningless to kids. They often say, oh, yeah, I'll do that, or I did it. But they really haven't because it seems overwhelming to them. Uh-huh. They don't really know what to do to check their work.
Yep.
So the best thing to do for a student is to say, you know what, check every other problem. That's all you have to do, or check every third problem. Or you even say, when you get your test, put a box, or your homework, make a box in the upper right-hand corner of your paper. And for every problem that you check, that you go back and rework, or that you reread, put a +1 next to that problem. And then in the box, put a tally mark. And so at the end, you might have a goal, a personal goal. Let's say you're, you know, a high school student. You might say, I want to check 10 problems. I need 10 tally marks. Or if it's a teacher, you may say, try to have 10 tally marks. But oftentimes, kids need a visual. Auditory information is okay when teachers say go back and check your work, or the parent does, but kids really need a visual to kind of really monitor their own behavior so they're able to see which ones they've checked to make sure they're actually doing the work in that capacity.
Interesting. Because self-regulation is a big deal, and what I'm hearing you say is in doing that, just sending them off to go do that doesn't do anything. If we can make it visual, it makes it easier for them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Excellent. What other tips you got for us?
Well, you know, this is an interesting one. One thing that I've seen kids and adults struggle with ADHD is procrastination.
Mm-hmm.
That it doesn't seem to let up. In fact, studies show that adults procrastinate more than kids do. But there are some things that parents can do for younger kids and adults can do to help themselves when it comes to procrastination. The first one is there really should be nothing on your to-do list or your homework list that's more than 30 minutes. That time is often the enemy of people with ADHD. So for kids, when they have a big thing on their to-do list like study for a social studies test, they're likely not going to do it because it feels overwhelming and they don't know how to get started. It's better for them to put something like review numbers 1 through 10 on the study guide. When we write things down that are more specific and that are less than 30 minutes, we're far more likely to do them. The other thing that's interesting about procrastination is that you can't beat yourself up about it. So if you procrastinate, you know, for a test, you really want to practice the act of forgiveness. Studies show that when you forgive yourself for procrastinating, you're far less likely to do it the next time around, and you're more likely to get a better grade on the test than those that do not forgive themselves for procrastinating.
Well, that's fascinating.
It is. It's interesting stuff.
Well, it makes some – I mean, it's logically it makes a lot of sense, but it's not anything I've ever heard from anybody before. So the idea is forgive yourself because it's really going to help you. The more you beat yourself up, the more you're going to procrastinate.
Right. The more you beat yourself up, the more you're just likely to get down on yourself about it, and you're going to think there's no way out. You really have to have more of a resilient mindset to say, I'm not going to do this as much next time. It's never going to be perfect, but you can get a little bit better each time.
Excellent. continue on. What more tips? What other tidbits you got for our listeners out there that would be useful?
Well, in terms of study skills, certainly we talked a little bit about what to do when you are reading, but certainly there are other strategy skills for other subjects. In math, many students will tell me, you know, Anne, in math you either know it or you don't. You can't study for math. But really that's not true at all. And the mistake I see with many kids, especially those with ADHD, is number one, they don't know how to study for math, and number two, all they do is go back and read their notes. But a much better strategy, and this has been proven by research to be the most effective strategy for studying math, is to make yourself about a 3 to 5 question practice test. But use the questions on your little practice test that you have the answers for already. So these might be example problems in the book or problems that have been already worked out in your notes. And go back and solve those problems. And if you need help, you can always reflect back on your notes or the text examples. But doing those problems is really powerful. Also, for people with ADHD that may be more visual, tactile learners, there's a great website called Khan Academy. And it's kind of all the rage now in math instruction. And it's a video-based website where you can type in anything like solving algebraic equations with two variables, for example, or dividing fractions, and up will pop a lesson on how to do it. It's completely color-coded where somebody shows you exactly how to do that type of problem, and then you can practice, and there's hints, and there's lots of other interactive guides and practice problems on that website within that type of problem set. So it's a great way, you know, when you feel like you've done all you can on your own, to go to a different resource. And for parents of kids with ADHD, I highly recommend it, especially when they feel like, you know what, I'm just frustrated. I
yep.
can't help my kid anymore, or I don't even know how to do this math. It's a great resource.
You don't even have to dismiss. Yeah, my 16-year-old came out last year doing, was it trigonometry? I remember taking it. but I don't remember anything from it. Like, you're going to have to go somewhere else because I've lost that. That was years ago.
I know. It's tough. And there's, you know, Jeff, there's another website called Quizlet, Quizlet, that I absolutely love, too. This is more for studying vocabulary words or even studying terms for a different language. You can put in the words you have to learn, or often you can find lists that other people have made, and there's tons of interactive ways, games, to study words. And for an ADHD person, that type of novelty and interaction is really powerful.
Wow, that's powerful. I'll tell you what, Anne, we need to go to another break. Again, for our listeners out there, to learn more, go to ectutoring.com. And remember Anne's book, Homework Made Simple, Tips, Tools, and Solutions for Stress-Free Homework. With that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention at attentiontalkradio.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We have Ann Dolan in the house. Ann, we've got, like 3 or 4 minutes left. With the time that we left, what other information do you think would be very useful for those that are listening? And remember, everybody, when I encourage you to go to the website and sign up for the newsletter, because there's lots of great information and some additional practical stuff. But with that said, Anne, with the time that we've got left, what nuggets do you think are the most important to share?
Well, one of the things that I think is important, Jeff, which we haven't discussed, is the importance of movement when studying. You know, as parents, we often think that our kids should sit at a desk and should just focus as best they can. But in reality, many kids are craving sensory stimulation. And when they rock in their chair and flick their pencils and they're getting up and they're grabbing things and they're moving around, they may not really be good desk sitters. So these are the kind of kids that actually do better with a lap desk, sitting on the couch, lying on the floor. Some kids do better standing up and doing work with a stand-up desk. Other kids just need to fidget. They need a fidget toy like a stress ball, or a lot of kids have those magnetic Bucky balls.
Mm-hmm.
There's even a stress a toy called Tangle Junior, which is a great fidget toy. But many kids really do better when they can touch and hold something at the same time. Actually, these types of fidget toys stimulate attention. They heighten arousal. And when kids are more alert, they're more likely to be focused, attentive, and more accurate with their work.
I can. I have coached multiple adults before where they struggled, and we ended up getting desks that they could stand at and move around, sort of walking and pacing and doing different types of things and kind of coming back to their work, because it helped them actually pay attention to what was going on. So it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it really does. You know, even aerobic exercise before you settle down to do work has shown to dramatically improve attention. So I always encourage parents to let their kids go outside and play before they start homework.
Oh, absolutely. We got about 60 seconds. Any other, we could probably go on for another hour, but any other real quick tips before we wrap it up?
Well, sure. I mean, certainly, Jeff, there are a lot of things, but I would say, you know, really going back to the part about allowing your child to be a more active, engaged learner is important. So, for example, if you want to practice math facts with your kids, forget about the flashcards. If you really do, you know, you're really married to the flashcards, studies show that if you let your child hold them, they're going to retain more information. But even taking something like a hacky sack and throwing the ball to your child and saying 3 times 3, they catch it, they say 9, and they throw it back to you and say 5 times 3, you catch it, say the answer and throw it back to them. That type of activity improves retention of math facts by up to 30%. So there's really, really something to be said about movement and activity when it comes to learning rote information.
Last summer, we actually had Carol Barnier on our show, Homeschool or High School, talking about, you know, the decision to homeschool your child, going back and forth. And it's funny because she was describing, she homeschooled her children, and she talked about they would go out to the pool, and she would just throw a bunch of things into the pool, and she would give the kid a math problem, like a multiplication. As they dove down, they'd have to get the object and kind of come back up to and then give the answer for a prize or whatever, or throwing flashcards and stuff on the ground, doing some stuff. And so that's just really just mirroring that movement type thing. By actively being engaged, it helps them focus and remember and learn. So that's all great stuff.
Excellent.
With that, Ann, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on the show. I want to remind our listeners, if you want to learn more, go to ectutoring.com. And, again, from my perspective, sign up for the newsletter. It's excellent. And also don't forget Ann's book, Homemade Made Simple, Tips, Tools, and Solutions for the Stress-Free Homework. And with that, Ann, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, Jeff.
Everybody, hope you've enjoyed this one. Ann's going to be coming back on in later April. We'll be talking about parents with ADHD kind of helping their study. So that it'll be a similar topic, but from a different angle. So please mark your calendars for that. And we'll look forward to having you back then, Ann. Thanks.
Thank you.
Take care, everybody.